In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. We only get to hear the parable of the talents once every 3 years, which is too bad, because it is one of those passages that lends itself not just to sermons, but to some wonderful Bible studies, as you can imagine. It is the last of all of Matthew's parables, the last one in the book, at the very end of the gospel. What we will hear next week is the judgment of the nations, another Matthean masterpiece in which is set forth the resolution of those who are saved and those who are not, and how God will look upon those people who have truly been righteous. And in the next verse after that, and Jesus told his disciples that he would be given up under the hands of sinners and crucified and died. So we're in this kind of crescendo effect in Matthew's gospel. Time is running out. Time is running out, not only for Jesus, but in the eschatological sense, in the sense of our salvation, time is running out for us. As the psalm said, teach us to number our days, because we only have so long to be here in this life, and we only have so long to be with Christ and to do God's will on earth. So that is the, are those comforting words this morning? Maybe quite so, a little bit of a get your attention. Serious stuff, but then again, faith is serious business. It is about the meaning of life and the meaning of our lives. Now to get back to Matthew and talents for a moment, the word talent entered the English language because of the King James translation of the Bible, which translated the Greek teleton into talent. The translators of the Bible invented that translation. The word talent did not exist before the early 17th century in English. So there's your Jeopardy question, by the way. You're ready for me by Jeopardy. Teleton meant scale or balance in Greek, and in Jesus' time, it was a weight of measure that was the equivalent of 80 pounds. And all currency was derived from fractions of a talent, 80 pounds of silver. The smallest one was the denarius, which you've probably heard in other stories, which was roughly a day's wage. One denarius was a day's wage. It was a fraction, it was a sliver of a talent. Just a smidgen of silver. I mean, if you were paid 80 pounds of silver a day, you'd be pretty well off, wouldn't you? If you were paid even about 1/1000th of that, you would still be doing pretty well. So that answers the question that is this parable about economics? And the answer is no. Not really. There's an economic cast to it, there is an economic feel to it, but it's not really about the value of the talent, because slave number one was handed over 5 talents, which is roughly equal to 100 years' work, or just about 3 lifetimes, and the second slave was handed over 2 talents, which was equal to about 40 years of work, or roughly 2 lifetimes, and the hapless slave at the end of the line was handed over 20 talents, just a little less than 1 complete lifetime of work. That would have been the meaning behind the story that Jesus' listeners would have comprehended. So what happens? Does anyone have any thoughts about the doubling? Have you noticed the doubling? The one with 5 made what? How many more? 100% return, right? Pretty good, right? The one with 2 made 2 more. So the one with 5 ended up with 5 more, the one with 2 ended up with 2 more. Now, if this this were about economic extravagance, the one with five ended up with, well, I don't know, 25 more, and the one with two might end up with 14 more, but that's not the point. The point is that those first two people, the first two slaves, the first two characters, took exactly what God, the Master, had given them in their life and used it to their fullest potential. What they had, they in fact doubled. They doubled it in faith, they doubled it in good works, they doubled it in any number of ways. They took what was given to them and did the best they could with it, not expecting to make a 200% return or a 500% return or a miracle investing. You know, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. They did exactly what they should do. But the one slave that had the one talent who still could have doubled it was afraid and hid it. If we are given all the gifts of God to be faithful people, to be ambassadors of goodwill, to share the kingdom of heaven, to help people, what good will it be if our talents are hidden away? What can God possibly do with us if we don't take what God has given us, wherever we are, whatever it is, however we have been given those gifts, if we hide them, nothing good will possibly come from them. Matthew is so concerned about this that in typical Matthew exaggeration, you know, you wicked slave and gnashing of teeth and, you know, all that stuff, he's getting your attention. This is Matthew's ultimate teaching moment. God has given us everything we need to be faithful people, to follow Christ, to do some good for the world. If we don't do something, if we hide it, if we put it away, if we don't accept it, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't take risks for the kingdom of God, what will God possibly do? You know, I like to watch public television. I like to watch a few things, but public television is kind of my favorite place to hang out. And Ancestry.com is a sponsor of PBS. You know, there are all kinds of sponsors. And there's a great ad for Ancestry.com. They run it all the time. And it's a lady standing there in front of some old pictures of her ancestors and ships and whatnot. And she says, I want my children to know that their ancestors took risks, big risks, to come to this country and to fulfill their dreams and to make something of their lives. And then she holds up her iPhone, which I don't think her ancestors had, but she had. She holds up her iPhone, and there's an image of her great-grandfather and his dates at the time when he came to Ellis Island and the entry into this country, and he was probably a sailor or fisher person, so at any rate. But I love that line. I want my children to know that their ancestors took risks, big risks, for their lives. Are we willing to take big risks or not? Are we willing to use everything that God has given us? Are we willing to be afraid but yet not hide our talents from other people? A commentator had this to say about Matthew's passage, as well as Thessalonians that we hear today. Are we awake to the passing of time? Are we vigilant in the moment? For we know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Are we careful and thoughtful, alert to the promptings of grace in our lives, and diligent and prudent in our use of time? In the world of the Bible, God's wrath falls upon those who are at ease, who rest complacently, who don't seem to hear or to get it, who squander the preciousness of their lives. The question that Paul asks us and that Matthew asks us is, how are we living now? In 2 weeks, Advent will begin. The the season of preparation for our Lord's coming. In 2 weeks, we will again hear many verses about that theme. How are we living our lives? But today we have that gift again to ponder and to consider. What talents do we have? How are we offering them to God? And how are we living our lives? In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer.